Thanks for having me back again. It's always nice when you don't get told to leave in between, so it's good to be back. Alrighty, so I thought I would start with the scripture that Catherine gave to me, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my hope today is to be able to bring you something different. You can go anywhere online and find information about carbohydrate and fat and protein. You can find so much information. It's actually kind of crazy how much information there actually is. So today I want to try and offer you something from a Christian perspective. And I work with a lot of women. It helps if I start that. I work with a lot of women, and one of the things that I really struggle with is when people come to me, and they come to me broken, genuinely broken. Like when you're dealing with someone who has battled their weight for 30 years and their identity is tied up in their weight and they are broken by this, they think they're stupid. They think they are lazy. They think that there is something morally wrong with them. And having to work with people like this and not be able to say, oh, you need Jesus. You need Jesus so much. And not necessarily that Jesus would in fact just, you know, magic the weight away. That's not how it works. But just that when you know Jesus, there is just that ability to cope and to deal with circumstances that sometimes we can't fix. So as an exercise physiologist and a nutritionist, I often deal with people who feel like they have lost control over their bodies. They feel like there is no hope. They feel anxious. They feel a lot of confusion and there's a lot of stress, particularly when it comes to things like food. And so what I want to tell you right now is that the health and fitness industry, there's a lot of good, but there is a lot of bad, and the bad is really bad. And they will prey on your insecurities. They will prey on your fears. They will try and sell you something, and they will confuse you with lots of terms, and they'll tell you your metabolism is broken, or they'll tell you that you need XYZ diet, and they'll try and make it all, you know, fancy and whatnot. But ultimately, what they are doing is they are preying on those insecurities that they know are there. The health and fitness industry has a very two-dimensional view of health, or it presents a very two-dimensional view of health. I think it's really interesting in this scripture. It says, your whole spirit and soul and body. That's three separate components. Does it not make sense then that when it comes to our health, that our health is holistic? It's not just about the body. Now, I'm sure some of you will look at me and say, well, Naomi, it's easy. You're healthy. Am I healthy? How do you know? How do you know what is going on behind closed doors? What if I go home and I binge and purge? You don't know I'm doing that. I'm not certainly going to stand up here and say that's what I'm doing. I can remember, I think it was Scary Spice or Ginger. I don't know why I'm referencing the Spice Girls. But anyway, we'll go with it. I think it was Ginger Spice. You know, she promoted all these workout things and then it came out that she was bulimic. And I thought, oh, you know, number one, that's tragic. But number two, you're selling a lie. You're selling something that's not real. And that is the industry. The industry will sell you something that is just not real. The people you see on social media in the fitness industry, they don't exist. They're not real. They are photoshopped to within an inch of their life. And the 1% of people, and it's probably even less than that, that do actually look like that, the number one reason why they do is they've got the genetic capacity to look like that. And it's not that they don't work hard. It's not that they don't eat well. But genetics is a very, very strong determinant for what you're going to look like. We accept that our genetics tell us how tall we're going to be, or our hair color, our skin color. But yet when it comes to body shape, oh no, it's just a moral failing. You just can't stop eating. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous that there would only be one type of body shape. So as I said, I really want to present something different to you. So I wanted to start, first of all, by looking at who God is. Because that's our reference point. As I said, I deal with a lot of people who are confused and stressed and overwhelmed. Shame, they feel a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. One of the most important characteristics of who God is He is I am. That to me gives me goosebumps, and I just about, and it makes me cry. Sally, I told you I would cry at some point. It's coming. I am. He is. He is now, yesterday, tomorrow, and he is unchanging, and that is powerful. We live in a world that tells you today it's okay to eat red meat, tomorrow it's not okay to eat red meat. Today you can have carbs, but don't do it tomorrow because they'll be bad for you and they're going to kill you. So we live in a world that is confusing. Who is the God of this world? The Bible tells us who the God of this world is. So we need to know who God is, because when we know who God is, we can see the deception. So God is, he says, don't be afraid, I am for you. That's powerful. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I am the Lord who heals you. How often do we think today that God doesn't heal us? That's rubbish. He is I am. Of course he heals you. If he could do it then, he can do it now. And sometimes he doesn't. And that's where, as Sally was saying, you sit at the cross and you go, I don't know why and I don't understand. And that's not up to us to understand. But it is up to us to trust him and recognize who he is. And he says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We all have a hope and a future in God, and that gets taken from us. I am the Lord and I do not change. I do not change. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What does God say to us? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And of sound mind. I claim that verse all the time. Oh, Lord, I need that. That's usually on the back of not having had any sleep because of four children, but I still claim that. And then Matthew 6:25-34 has become one of the most important scriptures or scripture verses in my life, where God says, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about your life and what you will eat and what you will drink. God knows. God knows. I read this incredible, I've got the NIV Women's Bible, and so they've got these beautiful little stories the whole way throughout the Bible. And in it, this woman was talking about that when she puts down all of her troubles, it gives her two hands to worship. And every day, especially recently, I'm like, Lord, I am putting my problems down and I am putting up two hands to worship. And that to me is powerful. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why are you worrying about tomorrow? God has given you an instruction. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow will deal with tomorrow. Let's just deal with the 24 hours. And in my program, I often talk to my women who are stressing over all these things, and I'm like, why are you worrying about that? It hasn't happened yet. How many times in your life have you gone, oh, but what about this, 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 and this? And my mother once said to me, a lot can happen in 24 hours. Amen. All right, so if we talk about God, we need to know who Satan is, because I think sometimes we've got this idea about who Satan is, and he's this big, scary dragon with these horns coming out of his head. He is not like that. He is everything you've ever wanted or what you thought you wanted. And he comes to you, he is sneaky, he is cunning, and he promises you money and fame and wealth or whatever it is that you desire, and he says, I can give that to you. And then you realize that there's nothing to it, and you realize that it's very hollow. So Satan is our adversary. He is our adversary, the ruler of this world. So, I mean, and you just have to jump on social media to see that Satan is in control of the media. Satan is in control of a lot of aspects that are going on in society at the moment. He is the evil one. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. He is arrogant. He thought he could ascend above God. That's pretty arrogant. I've done some stupid things in my life that were pride-based. Even I'm not that stupid. All right, you belong to the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You need to remember that, because that is powerful. Satan will take every opportunity you give him and he will tell you a lie. Satan is the thief, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And here's something interesting. Submit yourselves, then to God. Now, Sally touched on this before. You know, when we separate ourselves from God and we're like, no, I got this. I got this right now. No, once we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. What does it say? He will flee from you. He has no power when we are in submission to God. Now, that's the hard part, especially for me. I have had many ideas over the years. Not many were good. All right. So, I need you to be clear on one thing. Satan hates you. You're like, oh, righto, Naomi. But it is true. Satan hates you. As much as Jesus loves you, Satan hates you. And you need to recognize that he will take any area of your life and he will turn it against you if he can. You just have to give him the doorway to that. And we do it in so many ways without even realizing that's what we're doing. We are made in the image of Christ. Our identity is in Christ. He hates that. And he's going to try and separate you from God, which I talked about earlier. So when you feel confusion, panic, overwhelm, anxiety, stress, and you're stressing over food or exercise or whatever it is, and it's all areas of our life, you need to ask, who am I yoked to? Who am I yoked to? Because I told you, and we went over, who God is. Those characteristics are not from God. He promises us sound mind. He promises us peace. He says to cast our anxieties on him. He says that his yoke is easy, the burden is light. So if you are feeling burdened, that is not from God. And we need to recognize, sometimes I think as Christians, we forget that, you know, we look at the obvious sins. We look at the obvious problems, whether it be alcohol or pornography or adultery, you know, all that stuff. But if we are not taking care of our precious vessels, these bodies that God has given us, Satan will use that against us, and he will turn us into ineffectual Christians. So with that in mind, now that we've got the groundwork covered, I want you to, if you've got a pen and paper, otherwise you can do this in your mind, I want you to write down the foods that you think should be included in a healthy diet. Not a trick question, I promise. Maybe it is a trick question. Just try not to spill this water on myself. Not a trick question. So you can have a think about it. Write it down. I'm not going to ask anyone to show me their answers, and it doesn't work like that. The reason I ask this is what I've been working in the industry now for nearly 20 years. And one thing that I've realized in working with a lot of people is that most people actually know. Like if I say to them, you know, what makes up a healthy diet, no one's going to sit there and say, well, you know, I think I should have donuts for breakfast and waffles for lunch and then pizza for dinner. Like no one thinks that. Everyone goes, look, fruit, veggies, seafood, meat, if you eat it, eggs, bit of dairy, those sorts. Like most people can name those things. And I think that we get robbed of that. Like, oh, it's so confusing. I just don't know what to eat. Does it not make sense to you that God would have given us an innate understanding of what we should eat and he would provide that information to us? I think so. So what I've got up on here are three foods. We've got a Mars bar, we've got an apple, and we've got red meat. It'll come up in a sec. So out of those foods, and you can just think about it for a minute, which one would you say is the most healthy? And which one would you say is the least healthy? I can see you're all thinking like, she's tricking us right now. I'm just developing some trust issues with you so that if you ever train with me, you'll be ready for when I beat you up. All right, so let's talk about the Mars bar. Mars bars are unhealthy, right? They're bad for you, you shouldn't be eating them. What about if you have one Mars bar, one? It could even be a big Mars bar, and you have one a week, and that Mars bar helps you to stick to your otherwise healthy diet. Is it unhealthy still? What about if I ate Mars bars for breakfast, Mars bars for lunch, Mars bars for dinner? So you can see that the same food can have healthy characteristics and unhealthy characteristics. So it's very difficult to look at one food in isolation and go, well, that's bad for you. And we're going to talk about the word bad in a minute as well. Apple seems fairly, you know, fine, except for, you know, the whole Adam and Eve situation. Is it good for you or is it bad for you? What if you became so obsessed with healthy food that the only thing you could eat were apples? Is it still good for you? Okay, so there's a real problem going on with this food. All right, red meat. Oh, red meat. It's carcinogenic, according to, I can't even remember who it was who came out recently and said that. Look, I'm not going to get into the research of this, but it's not carcinogenic unless you char it to within an inch of its life. Don't kill it twice, all right? You know, eat it how it's meant to be eaten, which is medium rare. Thank you very much. All right, I don't want to create unnecessary division in the church, but, you know, I'm telling you, if it's any more than medium rare, you're killing it twice. All right, so with the red meat, the problem is that when you burn foods, particularly meat, there can be compounds that form from that. That's a whole other kettle of fish. And the other problem as well, when they look at red meat, they often look at people who eat red meat and clump them into the same group as people who smoke, people who don't exercise, people who have a number of other unhealthy behaviours, and then they go, it was the red meat. So that's obviously problematic. The great thing about red meat is that around the world, in women, the number one deficiency is iron deficiency. And iron deficiency leads on to something called iron deficiency anemia. I'm very well versed in that condition. It's something that I have. Now, when you become iron deficient, it makes you very tired. It makes you very all the time. You get breathless. You get very pale. People ask you all the time if you're feeling okay, which is great because when I was pregnant, everyone thought I was dying, but I was just very anemic. But the other problem is that it's very serious in that it can create heart arrhythmias. You can actually develop heart-related problems from anemia. But what a lot of people don't understand is that low iron also increases your risk for anxiety. So you can become quite anxious from having low iron levels. And that's something that a lot of women don't know. So if you are a menstruating female, you need to be eating more iron. And unfortunately, plant-based irons are not as bioavailable or readily absorbed by the body as, say, steak. So the idea that steak is not healthy, it's a bit of a tricky issue there. So what I'm trying to get at is that we need to see big pictures. I need to see how people eat in more than one little snapshot. I need to see how you're eating over a number of days, weeks, months. I need to know how you feel about your food, which brings me onto the topic of food morality. Oh dear. Okay, so there is no diet that is superior to another. You are not better or worse for the food that you eat. In fact, the food that you eat has absolutely no moral implication on who you are as a person. The number of women that I work with who say, oh, I was so bad on the weekend. I ate all this bad food and I ate cake and I'm like, oh, there's so many things wrong with what you're saying. You're not bad for the food you eat. You know, you are allowed to live, you are allowed to eat cake. Cake is not bad, cake is awesome. And it should be included in your diet completely guilt-free. The problem that we've got at the moment is we tend to have lost our balance. Everything we eat can have a purpose. Most of the time we eat for nourishment. We eat to nourish our bodies. The diet that we eat should promote health, which we're going to talk about in a sec, and prevent disease. But you can actually eat for pleasure. You're allowed to. Have you not realised that God made food taste awesome? So good. There's a reason for that. He wants you to eat it. It's pretty. It is really, really pretty. You know, they say you eat with your eyes. God made it that way. So the idea of becoming afraid of food has not come from God again. So we start to see a pattern. We just have to find that balance. So let's quickly talk about health. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Did you notice there's no mention of six-packs and biceps and BMIs and body fat percentages in there?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't tell if I'm healthy. I can't tell if any one of you are healthy because it is so much more than the way in which you look. It is what's going on up here. It is how you are connected to your community, your relationships with people. If you're crying every time you eat a meal, that is very unhealthy. And you can have a six-pack and be crying every time you eat a meal. So there is so many components to health, and unfortunately we don't get the full picture a lot of the time. So health is eating well, moving well, sleeping, resting, saying no, having boundaries. That's health. When you've got people who are interfering in your life, or you've got relationships in your life that are not healthy, that affects your health. Having good stress levels, having a good relationship with food, connections, a sense of purpose. This is all part of our health. Unfortunately, as Christians, we sometimes do not take our health seriously enough. But there's a scripture that talks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is really important. This doesn't mean you have to be a size zero. It doesn't mean you have to go and spend hours at the gym. It doesn't mean that you have to fit a stereotype or anything like that. But it does mean that you need to come to God and you need to ask Him what you have to do, what you need to do in order to be made whole. I was talking with Catherine yesterday about getting up off your mat, and I'll talk about that in one sec. Yes, it's in the next slide. We need to be salt and light, and we can't be salt and light if we are crippled by our bodies and crippled by our health. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of our minds. We have to take care of our spirit. Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." It is not okay to say, "Well, if it's God's will, I'm just going to be overweight." It doesn't work like that. You know, some of us are going to spend our lives overweight. And that is just life. That is the way that it works in this broken world. But that does not absolve you of your responsibility, which is to eat well, which is to exercise, which is to get enough sleep, drink enough water, all those sorts of things. I'll never be able to sell a book because my message is very unsexy, but it is what it is. Sorry, I don't have anything to sell you guys today other than God's, you know, restoration and grace. But God is a God of action. Don't think that nothing is required of you. Don't think I can just give it to God and say, "Jesus, fix me," because that's not how it works. He will give you the circumstances in which you need to fix you, okay? And He does that to pull you in. When I had all these things happening to me recently, it would have been really easy to go, "My life is terrible. My life isn't terrible. My life is awesome. I am so blessed just being born here in Australia. I have won the lottery." And I tell you what, when I get to heaven, that's going to be one of the first questions I ask God. Why did I get to be born here? Why wasn't I born in Africa? Why have I not watched all of my children die from diarrhea? You know, why did I get to grow my babies and bring them up here in this amazing country? So it is so easy to lose perspective, but when God gets your attention and He pulls you in, He'll give you perspective and then He will help you cope. Paul talks about being satisfied in all circumstances, being no matter what's going on around us, that we are content. And God has taught me to be content, and more than content. I am so immensely grateful. So for those of you who are ready to embark on a journey of health, let me tell you, it will take longer and be harder than you think. It's not easy. I promise you it's not easy. It will have many setbacks. And if I could go many, 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 you get the picture. It is frustrating. It is disappointing. There have been tears in my own personal life. I managed to rupture my ACL this year. It's been a great year. So that was wonderful. I did that at netball, and all my hopes and dreams for netball and for a whole bunch of other things kind of disappeared very rapidly. And I realized that, you know, that's okay. When God shuts that one door, the next one opens, and off I went and did the whole rehab thing. So it is disappointing. You will be disappointed along the way. But the thing about getting healthy is it requires discipline. It requires support. It requires accountability. And I promise you, more than anything else, it is worth it. It is so worth it. The difficulties and the struggles that you will face while you try and get healthy, they will teach you to be resilient. We are lacking that so much as a society. We are so easily swayed and so ready to give up. The diamond is forged through incredible pressure. Gold is refined by fire. If you want to become a disciplined person, you have to choose to be. Stop waiting for motivation. I'll talk about that in a sec too. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But it is our struggles and it is our difficulties. It is our our, you know, the burden that we feel, the real difficulties that pull us in close to God. And it's in that that he reveals his heart to us and he teaches us so much about ourselves. I never thought I would be capable of the things that I have been capable of. And that's on a personal level. If, you know, a year ago, if Tony had lost his job, that would have been it for me. I would have been an absolute mess. But in all of this, you know, God is working in our lives. My husband is not a Christian, so if any of you ever feel inclined to pray for him, God is really using our situation right now to soften his heart, and he's very soft towards God. And even he said to me, Naomi, God is looking after us. And he has been. Tony just keeps getting all this work. I've had different payments come through. I've had amazing friends get me little presents, and that has been wonderful. So God blesses us. So at the moment, unfortunately, we are in an obesity and chronic illness epidemic. And I want to ask you this question. Who is the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? And we have to recognize that we are struggling against a food industry that, you know, it's pretty hard to avoid the food that is available to us all the time. And we've got this crazy environmental situation at the moment. We are living in what we call an obesogenic environment. It is obesity promoting. We have food available to us all the time. We have social pressures. Everyone goes out to eat. Let's go out to eat. Let's go out to drink. This is why I spend a lot of time in my lounge room. It's a lot easier. Or in bed. I go to bed at a really early time, but it stops me from eating the stuff I shouldn't, so I kind of figure it works. Anyway, we've got genetic issues. Unfortunately, being a woman, we are more predisposed to being overweight and obese. Having babies increases your risk for being overweight and obese. There are exercise factors, and then there's also metabolic factors that influence obesity. So we're really up against it. So what I just wanted to then talk to you about was the core values that I try and impart to all of the women and the people that I work with. So these are nutrition, exercise, sleep, recovery and rest, structure, discipline, purpose, identity, ownership and victory. All right. Now, interestingly enough, when it comes to nutrition, there's something interesting in here. God told Noah after the flood that they were now permitted to eat living things and plants. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I'll now give you everything. Do you know what 30, 40, 50 years of research has told us? Eat your protein, eat your plants. That's kind of funny. Anyway, I do laugh. In my programs, my people get really sick of me because I'm like, eat your protein, eat your protein, eat your protein. Now, you can eat your protein in plant form as well. But eat your micronutrients, and the foods that have the best micronutrients are our plant-based foods. Low calorie, lots of nutrients, they're really good. So if you want to really think about what a healthy diet is, meat and three veg, that's how simple it can be. Now we can argue all the nuances as much as you like, but it comes down to the fact that if you want to eat well, just keep thinking meat and three veg, meat and three veg, meat and three veg. Don't complicate it beyond that, you don't need to. You can, once you've got that under control, but start with that. And the best thing that you can do is do this as a family. So if you have got kids, you never, ever do one thing for them, one thing for you. It is a surefire way to make sure it doesn't work. Make sure you're doing it as a team. All right. The number one risk factor for any cause of death is a low cardiorespiratory fitness. That means if you are unfit, you have a significant risk for any cause of death. In fact, one particular study looked at people who were obese and fit versus people who were a healthy weight and fit, and their risk for death was almost identical. That's how protective exercise is, or that's how protective fitness is. So if you are a person who struggles with your weight, and it is a tough battle, especially when you stand in front of that doctor and they're like, you just need to lose weight. You're like, oh, thank you. I didn't realize that. That's excellent. You just need to eat less and move more. Oh, gee, really glad you told me that because I didn't know that either. So it's not very helpful, some of the messages that we get, and they can be quite condescending, and that adds layer upon layer upon layer. But if you just focus in on getting fit, which you will get 100% of the time if you go and do fitness stuff. I can't guarantee weight loss. I just can't. Nobody can. So when I see all these programs guaranteeing all this weight loss, the only way we know how to guarantee weight loss is through amputation, liposuction, giving birth, and maybe going to the toilet. Other than that... And you know what? We can lose... Sorry, God. We can lose weight in all manner of ways. Weight loss isn't necessarily healthy. Just because you lose weight, it doesn't mean you're healthy. But if you get fit, you will get healthy. It's like God knew something. All right. And do it with a friend again. People who train together continue to train together. Do it as a group. All right, this is really interesting. Sleep. I've become very passionate about sleep. Catherine's probably going to go, broken record. All right. First thing, you cannot hack the benefits of sleep. That means you can't take a pill, you can't take a supplement. You have to actually sleep. Weird, right? Like God might want you to stop. All right. Sleep has to be undertaken every single day. You can't bank it. I just won't sleep tonight and then I'll do it all tomorrow night. Doesn't work like that. We are the only species that deliberately undersleeps. I was watching my dog recently. She sleeps all the time. I'm like, oh, it's a tough life. And you watch lions, and I don't know if anyone else watches animal documentaries. I'm obsessed with how much they sleep. I know that's really weird, but they sleep a lot. Human beings are the only ones who are deliberately avoiding it. Why are we doing that? When you are awake, you are undergoing brain damage. You might be thinking you're getting smarter right now, but telling you right now. You know how you fix the brain damage? You sleep. When you've been awake for more than 21 hours, you are as impaired as if you were drunk. And anyone who's ever spoken to someone who's a bit tired, if any new mums around, they don't make a lot of sense. Okay, that's me. When you are underslept, you tend to eat poor quality food, i.e. high in sugar and fat, and you eat more of it, you tend to be more sedentary, and if you can be bothered to exercise, your body will burn more muscle tissue than fat. Thanks for coming. And I'm talking 70% more. 70% more lean tissue than fat tissue. It's like your body's like, go to bed. People who are underslept eat 200 to 300 more calories every day. That works out to be about 77,000 calories per year, 10 to 15 pounds of fat, which is what, 6 kilos, 5-6 kilos of fat? On little people like myself, that matters. I go to bed early. All right, less than 7 hours of sleep results in impairments that you can measure. You can actually measure this in testing. And a lack of sleep is likely carcinogenic. It suppresses killer cells, either our cells that go around find tumours and they destroy them, and it overexpresses genes that are involved in, overexpresses genes involved in tumour growth, so cancer promotion, while suppressing the genes that are involved in tumour suppression. So your immune system is suppressed and you are more likely to start producing cells that are cancerous and you don't have the immune function to deal with it. It's like 70% suppression again. So, now that I've given you really bad news, here's some sleep recommendations. And they're really easy. The number one thing you can do to improve your sleep is to go to bed at the same time and get up at the same time. Pretty boring, right? I'm in bed really by about 8 o'clock, 8:30 every night. Now, I'm not saying that you need to do what I do. I get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to go to the gym. So I'm up at 4. So I have to go to bed early. If you don't get up so early, you can probably go to bed a bit later. But if you just set that bedtime and you, every day of the week, Monday to Sunday, set that bedtime, get up at the same time, you will be amazed, as I was, at how much better you feel. I couldn't believe it. I've been so sleep deprived in my life that I'm now actually afraid of being tired. And I couldn't believe the benefit that I felt from that. Get off your screens at least an hour before bedtime. We hear that all the time. Turn your bedroom into a sleep haven. Don't have TVs and screens and all sorts of whatnot in there. It needs to be about sleep. Have dinner a few hours before bed. If you are full going to sleep, that can disrupt your sleep. Eat a healthy meal. We know that food high in fiber, low in sugar, does not disrupt your sleep. So if it's low in fiber, high in sugar, you probably notice your heart rate gets a little bit elevated and it becomes difficult to sleep. And it can affect your dreams as well. Avoid caffeine, avoid alcohol. People think that alcohol helps you go to sleep. No, that's called passing out. It's different. joking. There's actually a study that looked at red wine and it found that people who drank two glasses of red wine versus the control group that didn't drink the red wine lost as much weight as the non-red wine drinking group, so long as the calories were controlled. So for those of you that like your red wine, so long as you keep it in check, it's okay. All right, I'll move through these last few. Yeah, two glasses, standard size. Not generous size, not mum size, standard size. All right, rest. Rest is really important. We tend to think that if we work really, really hard, we're being more godly. That is absolutely not true. God himself took rest. What did he do on the seventh day? He rested, yeah, and he had the Sabbath for us. So there is absolutely no benefit to burning yourself out. You need to take that rest. It's really, really important. You need to have structure. You need accountability and you need support. You need to plan out your week, including your rest. What days are you resting? What days are you spending time with your family? If you've got kids, when are you spending time with them? One of the most beneficial things in my program is something called the top three. The top three are just three things you're going to do for the day. We get so overwhelmed. We've got so much to do. We're so busy and we feel like we can't achieve it. Whereas if you just go, right, what are three things I can do today? You write them down and you tick them off. Once you finish those three, you can then add to your list. You're only allowed to do three. And it is amazing the things that you start achieving on a day-to-day basis because you brought it down nice and small. You need to set out some goals for yourself. So many of us are just traveling through life, not really sure what we're trying to do. You know, what are you doing today? Not sure. That is not the way we are meant to operate. We should be trying to action things every single day. We should have a plan and a purpose for our life. What are we working towards? Then we've got discipline versus motivation. Too often we are controlled by our emotions, whereas we need to be disciplined. Our motivation doesn't come to you. At 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm getting out of bed, I am not motivated, let me tell you. I have got every excuse coming through my head at that time. I'm like, I could lie in bed with Tony, and it's cold, it's dark, it's all those things. But I know that I've got people watching me, I've got my children watching me, I need to set an example, and I know it's good for me. So off I go. So choose to be disciplined. It is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Stop waiting for motivation. It often does not come. Then you need to know what your purpose and your identity is. If you don't think you're worthy, you will not invest in yourself. You are worthy. You are worthwhile. God tells us that he created us. He went to the effort for you. He created men in his own image. You are made in God's image. There's your identity. That's who you are. You are worthwhile taking care of. It is not selfish to go to the gym and eat well or go for a walk or whatever it is that you do to care for yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for you. That makes you very worthwhile. And one little tough one. Sorry, it doesn't end quite as nice as we'd like. But you are to blame. And I mean that in the sense that I am to blame. That's a tough one, isn't it? It's kind of like giving someone a hug and then slapping them upside the head. But you are to blame in that we are always in control of our choices. We have people that influence us and they do terrible things to us at times, and some of us have lived lives that would make others recoil. But at the end of the day, we choose the actions. We choose to exercise or not exercise. We choose the food we eat. That is up to us. And the powerful thing in that is once you take ownership over that, you now have the power again. Because when you're blaming somebody else, they have that power over you and you can't change. But the moment you go, no, that's not okay, this is my choice, this is my decision, it is so empowering. It is so empowering because now you know you can do something about it. You are not a victim. We know that there is victory in Christ and we know who Jesus is and we know who we are, and we are absolutely in control of ourselves. You know, God is victorious and we can be made whole again. You know, and it is okay to seek help and get intervention. There's an idea that if we're on medication, we're failing. That's not true. That's a silly thought. Sometimes we need help along the way and we should get that help. We need to do what we need to do to get on track. And just to finish up, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think it's really important to understand that what we often see as healthy is not healthy. And we have these unrealistic expectations of what we should be trying to achieve. We need to do a little bit of exercise to build some muscle, to get fit. We need to eat a diet that is meat and three veg, pretty much. We need to get enough sleep. We need to try and de-stress. We need to structure our lives and be disciplined. We need to have people in our lives that are building us up. And that is how we ultimately get healthy. And for those of you who are struggling at the moment, this has given me so much peace. And it's when I put down my problems, I have two hands to worship. So if you are struggling with any area of your life, any area of your health, give it back to God. And I don't mean that in a flippant sense. I mean that in He is, I am. And he cares about you, mind, body, and spirit. Thank you.